I have a lesson. Praise God. And if I titled it, I would title it, "This is not what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Praise God. I thought on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, the apostle Peter said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Amen. When that happened on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, amen, he says, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." But today I want to show you what took place that day. And what took place that day is not what is taking place most of the time where they say it is. Where they're saying we're having Pentecost again and saying they're having the Spirit poured out, it usually is not what Joel prophesied about. Praise God. Let's just read somehow Acts chapter 2 before we teach. It says, Acts 2 verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And in verse 9 and 10 and 11, it begins to name the places these Jews were from. Amen. And he says, verse 11, "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this?" Praise God. Amen. Now, most people, amen, when they read this, praise God, if they're the Pentecostal sort, they'll stop right around verse 4. They won't read on past 4, because usually they don't want you to see what's happening on past 4. Praise God. Amen. Now, what they'll tell you is that's when the Holy Ghost came, Pentecost, and it was. And that the evidence that the Holy Ghost has come upon a person, that the person's been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, is a gift of unknown tongues or tongues. And praise God. Amen. I want you to look what happened on that day and what was the purpose of what happened that day and understand what was taking place really. Praise God. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus told them, He said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." I mean, there's going to be a power in the life of the believer when the Holy Ghost comes. And what is that power for? "You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I mean, the Holy Ghost was going to come in power and dwell in these believers and empower them to be Jesus Christ's witnesses, His apostles, His preachers, not just in Jerusalem, not just in the land of Judea, not just in the surrounding land of Samaria, but all over the world. They were going to be the preachers of God's gospel, of the good news, amen. And what do you think they needed, amen, to do that work? Praise God. They had to have power from on high. Amen. They had to have power from on high, but something else. Amen. I thought way back in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, God divided the earth. He divided mankind. He gave them different languages. Amen. People didn't understand each other anymore. So they divided and went in different parts of the world. And how was these unlearned men, these men of Galilee, going to go all over the world and preach to a people that couldn't understand Hebrew or couldn't understand the Syrian language which they spoke, praise God? Well, God knew the answer. He said, "I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you power of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to have the ability to preach my word, not just in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but all over the world." Do you see the need? Praise God. I mean, if God told you you're going to go to Africa in this dark jungle and you're going to preach to these people, how would you ever do it if you didn't know their language? If you couldn't speak their language, you'd have to have somebody with you that could interpret. Amen. The apostles didn't need anybody to interpret for them. Praise God. They could speak. Amen. Through the Holy Ghost, they had the power to speak in the language of the people they went to. Amen. The apostle Paul, he said, I speak in more tongues or more different tongues than y'all. Amen. He was an apostle called to the Gentiles. Amen. To reach them with the gospel. Praise God. Amen. Now, that's the purpose of tongues. I mean, the Bible says that it is a gift or a sign to unbelievers, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Amen. Now, what they do, praise God, they'll read this and they'll say, you know, they tarried in Jerusalem, and they did tarry in Jerusalem. And they'll come up with a doctrine. People will come up with a doctrine. Now, this is how you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with tongues. They'll say, you have to tarry until you get it. And what they mean by that is you go to the altar and you pray for hours and hours on end and you ask God to speak you in tongues. That's what they mean by tarry. What did Jesus mean by tarry when he said tarry? Well, in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, he says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Did you see that? He says, don't leave Jerusalem. Praise God, but wait for the promise of the Father which saith he, you have heard from me. Praise God, or heard of me. That's what Jesus meant. When you look at Luke 24 and verse 49, Luke 24 and verse 49, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Same words. You tarry in Jerusalem. Jesus said you wait in Jerusalem. They was to stay right there in that city until the Holy Ghost was poured out, praise God, upon them. He wasn't telling them to go to an altar and pray and ask for tongues for hours and hours and hours. Did you know that? Praise God. A lot of people think Pentecost never happened. Praise God. They don't know what Pentecost is. They think it just started in the book of Acts. But Pentecost is an ancient feast. You know that. Amen. God gave Moses, amen, the directions about how to keep the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. Amen. It came about 50 days after Passover. Amen. Every year they celebrated Pentecost. The Jews did. The Jews say that's when God gave His fiery law, the Ten Commandments and the Covenant. Praise God. In the New Testament, the day Pentecost came, God gave His fiery spirit. And He confirmed the new covenant, praise God, by giving the promise that Jesus made to them of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it came every year. And Jesus said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Praise God. Maybe the apostles knew, amen, that Pentecost would be the day. I don't know. But praise God, they waited. And I'm sure they prayed with each other. I'm sure they talked about Jesus. They praised. Amen. They spent 10 days together after Jesus left. Amen. I don't believe they stayed in that room for 10 days straight. But they would come together and meet together. Praise God. And they was in one accord. Now what does that mean? That means there was no strife between them. That's all that means. I mean, there's no strife. Up to that point, up to the death of Jesus Christ, there was strife. One would say, I'm going to be greater. Other would say, I'd be greater. They go send their mommy to ask Jesus, can my sons be to sit at your right hand? Praise God. It was strife. But now they're one accord. They got one mind. They love each other. And they're waiting, praise God, like Jesus said. That's the one accord. That's all it means. There's no strife, no infighting among the apostles, among these disciples. They was at peace one with another, praise God. Now I want you to imagine when I say the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. What do you imagine they were doing when the Spirit was poured out suddenly? Do you imagine they was at the altar saying, Lord, send the Holy Ghost. Lord, send the Holy Ghost. Do you think they were doing that? Maybe you think they're up shouting and screaming and worshiping. The Bible says what they were doing in verse 2 of Acts 2 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. They were sitting together. Maybe they were eating. Maybe they were talking. More than likely, they were not praying. Amen. The Jewish people, they had two usual places of prayer. On your knees or standing upright. More than likely, they wasn't praying when the Spirit was poured out. I mean, I'm not speaking against praying. You should pray. You should ask, praise God. But these apostles and these disciples were sitting, praise God, when the Spirit was poured out, and they was in one accord. They was at peace with each other, and the Spirit of God came. Jesus already made the promise. Do you understand that? And Jesus already promised them. He said, you wait in Jerusalem, and the promise is going to come. We're going to give you the Holy Ghost I told you about. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to have this power. He already promised, and they was waiting. Praise God. They was watching. Amen. They was meeting together. Amen. They was sitting. Totally different from what you see, amen, in churches today when they have watch meetings or tarrying meetings where they sit and beg and beg and beg for tongues. Now, does the Bible teach you anywhere to ask for the gift of tongues? Nowhere. Praise God. I could see the need if you was trying to speak to a person that didn't know English and you only knew English. Praise God, that you might ask. But you find nobody in the Bible asking for the gift of tongues. The Bible says to seek the best gift, and according to the Bible, the best gift is to be able to prophesy. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that you can be edified, that you can get help, than 10,000 with an unknown tongue. Amen. A tongue that you can't understand, praise God. Now there was a man, let me say this before I go any further. I believe there's a genuine gift of tongues. I believe there's a genuine gift of prophecy and interpretation of tongues and healings. I believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. I believe they're still good for the church today. But I also believe, I mean, there's counterfeits, and the counterfeits are rampant. The devil can counterfeit any gift in the church, any of them. He can fake it. But praise God, he can't fake the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. That's why Jesus said, you know them by the fruits and not by the gifts. There was a man named John Rice, a preacher. He's dead now. I mean, he had a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe in baptisms of the Spirit. I believe, praise God, when you get saved and you're born again and the Spirit of God comes into your life, you've experienced a baptism of the Spirit. I believe there's another baptism, praise God, where God will endue you with power from on high, where you can do the work of God. Amen. Some people call it being filled with the Spirit. Whatever you call it, it's there. But John Rice, he sought the Lord and he received a baptism of the Holy Ghost and he began to preach, led thousands of people to the Lord. And he'd tell people, I've received a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there was a man stopped him one day when he got off of the plane. And they said, Mr. Rice, I heard you were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he said, yes, I was. He says, was it just like the day of Pentecost? He said, well, I guess so. He said, no, was it exactly like the day of Pentecost, this man said. And John Rice looked at him and he knew what he was speaking about, speaking in unknown tongues. And John Rice said, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, I am. He says, was it just like Pentecost? He says, exactly like Pentecost. Brother Rice said, was there a mighty sound from heaven when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost? He said, well, no, there was no mighty sound. He said, was there a mighty, violent, rushing wind blowing through the house, inside the house, when you got baptized? And the man said, no, there's no wind. He said, was it cloven tongues of fire that appeared above your head when you got baptized with the Holy Ghost? He said, no, nothing like that. Was it a fire that got on different people in the church above their head and people could see it? No. Did you speak in a language that people there could understand that you had never learned before? No. That didn't happen. He said, how many people have you led to the Lord, son? He said, well, maybe one. He said, it don't sound like Pentecost to me. Do you see? I mean, the guy said it was exactly like Pentecost because he spoke a gibberish and said he got baptized with the Holy Ghost just like Pentecost. But he was missing everything else Pentecost had. And this power from on high that he pretended to have, he had never led nobody but maybe one person to the Lord. Yet he thought he had experienced Pentecost. And John Rice told him, said, that don't sound like Pentecost to me. Amen. Think about this. When these apostles began to speak in tongues, Amen. It was languages that was being used on that very day to reach the Jews that had come from all parts of the world for this feast day, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. Amen. They spoke in true languages. Amen. Human languages. It wasn't gibberish. It was true languages. And the Bible says in verse 16, what was they speaking? Look in verse 16 of Acts chapter 2. He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what Joel said. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise the Lamb of God. That's what Joel prophesied about. That sons and daughters would begin to prophesy under the power of the Holy Ghost, and that's what happened on Pentecost. Now, they began to prophesy. If you remember, praise God, what they said in verse 11, the people that heard them preach as Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They're prophesying about the works of God. Amen. To prophesy means that God gives you an utterance. God gives you the words to say. Praise God. He don't possess you and make you say it. He gives you words to say directly from God, and you speak them. Or he gives you a vision or a dream, and you tell it, praise God, that it's from God. That's prophesying. And that's what they were doing. That's fulfilling Joel. And they done it in other tongues to reach people, amen, that spoke in different languages and as a sign unto them. Now, how many people got saved on the day of Pentecost? It says, verse 41 of Acts 2, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls that heard the apostles prophesy, praise the Lamb of God, were saved, and they were baptized the same day. Saved and baptized the same day. That's Pentecost. Praise God. That's what Joel spoke about. Amen. That's what he spoke about. He didn't speak, amen, anything about a language that no man on earth can understand. He didn't speak about people speaking a jibber-jabber. Praise God. That can't help anybody on earth. Praise God. He spoke about prophesying, amen, sons and daughters both, prophesying, amen, to the lost and dying world. Praise God. I want you to think with me what the apostle means by this. 1 Corinthians 14, amen, a chapter about tongues, in verse 22. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. It's a sign to unbelievers. It's a miracle to convict the hearts of the unbelievers. That's what happened on the day of Acts. Amen. If the apostles just stood up probably and said just in the usual language, Jesus has died and rose again, praise God, it probably wouldn't have got the attention that it did when they spoke in 16, at least 16 different languages on that day, praise God, to them people. Then people said, they're speaking to me in my own language about God and His works. They're speaking to me, praise God. Amen. It's a sign. It's always been a sign. The right work of it, it's for unbelievers. Amen. It's for unbelievers. Praise God. I can see and I've heard testimonies of men in other countries, praise God, that needed, amen, a word, and they couldn't speak the language, and God let them speak that language. Amen. I've heard of men, praise God, one-on-one witnessing to people that spoke Spanish and asked God for help, and God give them words, amen, where they could understand it. It's for unbelievers, but it's also a sign. Amen. The Bible says, praise God, that those that believe on me shall speak in other tongues. Amen. That they'll cast out devils. They'll take up serpents. You remember Mark 16. Praise God. These are signs to confirm the word in the ears and in the eyes of unbelievers. Praise God, I thought, amen, the apostles were unbelievers in a lot of ways. Even after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they were still unbelievers. Amen, they still doubted that Gentiles could be saved. They doubted that the Samaritans could be saved. They were still prejudiced. Even though they were saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, their understanding wasn't fully developed yet. And when the Samaritans received the preaching of the Word of God in Acts chapter 8, they received the preaching of the Word of God. God didn't fill them with the Holy Ghost, didn't give them the gift of the Holy Ghost until the apostles could come down and lay hands on them. Do you remember that? God wanted John, I believe, who was it, Peter and John? He wanted them to come down and lay hands on them. Look in Acts chapter 8. We'll read about it. That way you'll know what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now these people were saved and they were baptized in water. And it says in verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, on that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. God wanted the apostles to come down and eyewitness this. Amen. They had called the Samaritans dogs. When Jesus witnessed to the woman at the well, they said, why is he speaking to that woman? Amen. To the Jews, the Samaritans were an outcast, lost people. They were a half-breed people. They were a mix of Jew and heathen. And they tried to worship Jehovah in flesh and in lies, like you would worship a heathen god. And Jesus told a Samaritan woman, he said, you don't know what you worship. Amen. But there coming a day when they're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise God. And that day came to Samaria. And God, amen, began to work and save. But God wanted the apostles to come down and witness, amen, that these people were saved. And God let them pray for them. And they received the Holy Ghost through the laying hands on of the apostles. Now that's not every time. Amen. The apostles had nobody laid hands on them when they got filled with the Holy Ghost. You read about Cornelius. He didn't get hands laid on him when him and his house got filled with the Holy Ghost. But God wanted them apostles to see for themselves, amen, that the Samaritans can be saved. Praise God. So God let them be there, and they got to witness them being filled with the Holy Ghost after they believed. I mean, if you turn to Acts chapter 10, now what you should be seeing is Acts chapter 1 repeated. Jesus said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. You remember that? He says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. He said, you're going to preach my name in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So they preached in Jerusalem, they preached in Judea up to this point. We just read in Acts chapter 8, they preached to the Samaritans. Now for the big test for the unbelieving apostles. Up to this point, they understood, well, the Samaritans are half-breed Jews. We can see that they got saved, but they still didn't believe a Gentile could be saved, that a full-blown Gentile could be saved. So God, amen, he gave Peter a vision. I mean, he showed him a sheep coming down with unclean animals on it and said, Peter, you kill and you eat. And he showed him that three times. And Peter said, Lord, I've never had nothing common or unclean in my mouth. And God said, well, I've cleansed. You don't call common or unclean. I mean, he was showing Peter that he's getting ready to save, amen, the Gentiles. Praise God through the preaching of his word. And an angel appeared to a man named Cornelius, who was an Italian. And he told Cornelius, he said, you go send for Peter, praise God, and he'll tell you, amen, what you ought to do, what you must do, amen, to be saved. Now in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, Peter's come, praise God. He says in Acts 10 verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. All they done was heard the preaching of Peter. All they did was believe, amen, that Jesus Christ had died for them for their sins, and that by believing upon him they would have remission of sins. That's all it took. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They couldn't believe it. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Did you hear that? It amazed the Jewish believers that God would reach down and save wicked Gentiles like me and you. Amen. But God gave a sign for the unbelieving Jews that they would see and understand that, hey, I'm saving these Gentiles. He gave them the gift of tongues. Amen. And they heard them begin to magnify God. They understood what these guys was speaking in other tongues. And Peter said in verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Amen. They received the same thing we received on the day of Pentecost, Peter said. Amen. This wasn't a jibber-jabber. Praise God. This was a genuine gift of tongues. And they heard them magnify God in that tongue. Amen. And they understood. Praise God. Amen. I thought, amen, that today, when this teaching first got started in the early 1900s, that people were speaking tongues when they received the Holy Ghost, and you ain't got the Holy Ghost till you speak in tongues, that when this got started, these people that spoke in this unknown tongues, that they call it, that they said, we're going to go overseas and we're going to be missionaries because now we have the gift of tongues, we don't need interpreters. At least they understood back then what it meant to have tongues. And they went overseas. And they would walk up to the foreigners and begin to jibber-jabber, and the foreigners didn't know what in the world they were saying. And they realized, amen, that they didn't have what the apostles had. They realized that this was not what Joel prophesied about. Amen, that was not what Joel told us about in the Bible. It was not what the apostles had. And they had to go back and make up a new doctrine. They thought, well, this ain't what they had. It's going to be a prayer language or something. We've got to make something out of it. It's a prayer language so we can talk to God and the devil can't understand us. Where in the world is that at in my Bible? That it's a prayer language where the devil can't understand you. Now, I believe you can pray in a tongue that other people don't understand. You know what the difference is really between a known tongue and an unknown tongue in the Bible? It's not a language that only God can understand. An unknown tongue is a tongue, amen, that the people there don't understand. So it's unknown to them. It'd be like if God gave me Spanish today, and I began to talk to you in Spanish, it'd be unknown language to you. Amen? It's unknown to you. It's a real language, but you don't understand it. And all the tongues of the Bible any man ever spoke in was a real, genuine, human language. And sometimes they spoke it when the people there couldn't understand it. And you know that Paul got on to them for that. Praise God. He said, you know, like I read earlier, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than in an unknown tongue, 10,000 in an unknown tongue. He said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2 or by the most by 3 and that by course. That means you do it one at a time and you let one person interpret. And if there's nobody there that can interpret what you're saying, you keep silent in the church and you speak to yourself and to God. That means you go pray to God. Amen? You don't interrupt the service with it if nobody can interpret you. Praise God, they were abusing the gift. And they was using it the wrong way. You know, I've learned something about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't possess you. The Holy Ghost doesn't come upon you and take your free will away from you. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And if God gives you a prophecy and says, I want you to utter these words, amen, He'll let you choose. Praise God, when to do it and how to do it. The Bible says that somebody's prophesying and something's revealed to another prophet, you let the one finish before you get up and speak. Amen? He says that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Amen? God isn't going to control you. Amen? God wasn't controlling these people and making them interrupt service that way. They was taking a gift, a genuine gift, and using it the wrong way. And the apostle had to correct it. And I say the apostle, but in truth it was the Holy Ghost, amen, through Paul that was correcting the problem in the church house. Amen. Nowadays they say, well, let's let the Holy Ghost have His way, and everybody in church speak in some unknown tongue, and it's chaos, and God is not in the midst of confusion. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not having His way. When the Holy Ghost has His way, amen, the Word of God is obeyed. Praise God. The directions of the Word of God is obeyed. Praise God. You're submissive to the Word of God. That's when the Holy Ghost has His way. Amen. They want to tell us, look in Acts or 1 Corinthians 12. They want to tell us that everybody that has the Spirit of God is spoken in tongues, or must speak in tongues. Everybody's supposed to have the gift of tongues. I've heard of silly women coming into churches and telling the congregation, everybody's here. Everybody here is supposed to speak in tongues. That's not what the Bible says. Verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. He says God's given some people the gift to be apostles. He's given some, amen, to be prophets and then teachers. And he goes down, some, it's always some. He's given some this gift and some that gift. He asks the question, verse 20, are all apostles? And what answer is he looking for? And if you get in the Greek, it's no. Amen, that's the expected answer. Are all apostles? Is everybody apostle? No. Is everybody a prophet? No. Is everybody a teacher? No. Is everybody a worker of miracles? No. Does everybody have the gift of healing? Absolutely not. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Praise God. They're teaching contrary to the Word of God. And they'll stand behind a pulpit and say, have you spoken in tongues? When was the last time you spoken in tongues? Lord, the apostle never did nothing like that. I mean, nobody in the Bible ever did anything like that. But they're quick to say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, when this is that which was not spoken by the prophet Joel. It's not it, praise God. Amen, they'll say, well, every time somebody got filled with the Spirit in the book of Acts, they spoke in tongues. Well, we read from the book of Acts about the Samaritans. It doesn't say they spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, read it with me. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness, no tongues. They began to preach the Word of God with boldness. They had power in their language, in their speech, when they spoke the Word of God. Amen. It was convicting power, amen, that God gave them when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Not a word about tongues. Amen. The Bible tells me that Jesus Christ, amen, was filled with the Holy Ghost without measure. Praise God. Amen. He's our example. He's the perfect example of a Spirit-filled man. Never did He speak in a tongue besides the tongues He knew. Amen. I've heard people say that when He was on the cross and He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that He's speaking in an unknown tongue. Amen. They don't understand the Bible. Praise God. He was speaking in His native tongue. Amen. It was Syriac, a kind of Hebrew. He was speaking on that day when He was up on the cross talking to His Father. It was a real language. I thought, amen, today we got recording devices. We're recording this message right now. We got cameras that record. We can put it right on the internet. Amen. The whole world can see it. Amen. There's specialists in language today that know the languages of the world. They can look at a language, listen to a language, and say, hey, you're speaking Chinese. Or you're speaking Somalian. You're speaking this language. Amen. Why can't they understand what these people are saying? Amen. When they speak in this jibber-jabber. Why is that? Well, I know there's a real gift. Praise God. But 99%. I believe I'd be safe to say it's far from a real language. It's not what Joel prophesied about. I mean, it's not what the prophet Joel prophesied about. I thought, praise God, when a man or a woman is filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible teaches, amen, that the Holy Ghost has sway in your life. You're being yielded to the Spirit of God. You're obeying the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It influences everything you do. And you have people that says, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak a little jibber-jabber. Amen, but they can sit and watch a soap opera. Amen. Don't bother them a bit. They can talk dirty. They smoke pot. Some of them do cocaine. Some of them drink. Some of them commit adultery. They listen to rock and roll music. Everything in the world that's ungodly. But they say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost because I spoke a jibber-jabber. I tell you, that's not what Joe, amen, prophesied about. It's not it. It is not it. Praise the Lamb of God. I asked a man one time, a preacher, who believed you got to speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I said, if I come to you speaking in tongues, but I'm living in adultery, would you believe I'm filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, no. I said, well, it looks to me like a holy life would be more evidenced in tongues of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus didn't say, this is how all men's going to know you're my disciples because you speak in tongues. He said, all men's going to know that you're my disciples, praise the Lamb of God, because you have love one for another. He said, this is how you'll know a tree. You'll know a tree by its fruit. Praise the Lamb of God, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love, and the love of God calls you to obey the Bible. A man says he's filled with the Spirit, or a woman says they're filled with the Spirit, and they're not willing to obey the Bible. Amen. They're not willing to keep the teachings of the apostles. They're deceived. Amen. The Bible warned us that they'll come preaching another gospel. Amen. They said they'll come preaching another Jesus, and you might just receive you another spirit. Amen. And that's what's taking place today. Old deceiving, seducing spirits is coming to the church, and it's seducing the people, praise God. Amen. They live in sin, but they can shout and speak in a tongue, or they think it's a tongue, and they think, well, I can live in sin because God's blessing me in it. I had a boy, praise God, I used to go to church with that said, God showed me I can smoke marijuana and live in fornication because he blesses me. He shouts me in church. It wasn't God shouting him. It was another spirit. It's the unholy ghost counterfeiting the true Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. You do your research, church. Amen. That thing called glossolalia. Amen. That emotional gibberish that'll come out. You get worked up in emotion. That's why they got to have the rock music in church. Got to have the drum beat and that fast music. You get that emotion working up in you. Amen. That jibber jabber will eventually come out. Amen. I had a sister tell me that she was at one of them tire-in meetings praying and speaking in tongues and was playing the music. And people would come up and say hallelujah really, really fast. Say hallelujah really, really fast. Trying to get her tongue tied where she'd speak in some kind of jibber jabber where they can say she got it. It's a deceiving thing is all it is. It's a deceiving thing. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. And they'll say it and they'll boast. Oh, I got the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking in tongues. And look down upon them that have another gift working in their life. Amen. They'll look at a man that can speak a jibber jabber and nobody in the church can understand. And say he's spiritual, even though he don't know the Bible and doesn't teach it right. But a man that'll stand behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God plainly, and got the fruits of the Spirit in his life, they'll say he's dry because he don't jibber-jabber behind the pulpit. They do it. They flat-out do it, church. Now I'm telling you, this is not that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. I believe, amen, there's a true feeling of the Spirit for power, for the work of the ministry. Amen. But it's going to empower you to do the work of God, to reach a lost and dying world, to edify the church, praise God, not to sit and edify yourself, amen, and say, look at me, what I'm doing, people. Praise God, the true thing is going to edify the church, and it's going to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. And I'm telling you, a lot of them, amen, they ain't got enough God in them to walk down the street and speak to a person about Jesus Christ. But they can jibber-jabber a whole lot in church. Amen? praise the Lamb of God. The Bible says for me and you to try the spirits. See if they be of God or not. Amen. I encourage you and everybody that hears me. Seek God. Seek to be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't seek tongues. Don't seek tongues. If God gives you the true gift of tongues, praise the Lord. But don't seek tongues. Amen. Seek God. Seek to be yielded to Him in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God and obey His Word. If you're not willing, praise God, to obey God and do what God wants you to do, He's not going to fill you with His Spirit. He's not going to. If God looked down and He saw them apostles and He thought, man, they ain't going to do nothing for me, He wouldn't have gave them the Spirit. He wouldn't have empowered them, but He saw their heart that they were ready. And He filled them up, praise God, empowered them. Amen. Gave them that baptism of power. And they've done a wonderful work, praise God. And I thank God for it. And I thank God for the true gifts of God that's still in the church today. The true gifts of God that matches the Bible. Amen. I don't want nothing that don't match the Bible. Amen. If it don't line up with the Word of God, I don't want it because it's not of God. Amen. The Holy Ghost will not go against this Word. He wrote it. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. He lines up with it. It's the plumb line. If you don't line up with it, you're off. You're off. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. But I'm going to close with that, church. Praise God. We'll take a season. We'll pray. Pray for each other.